We have to start looking at the supply of God and not the limitations of us. We're trying to find answers or needs met from sources that we don't have no power in. But God's supply is endless. God's resources never run out. God has what you need today. Trust that. He has it. You've been praying for a while. It's not happened. Don't mean you don't have it. You keep believing. You keep holding on. And sometimes the things God is giving us is what we need. But we don't see that. We don't understand that. Because our needs and God knows what we need are sometimes different. And so we're thinking God's not answering us. God's not helping us. God's not encouraging us. God's not delivering us. God's not healing us. God's not doing what he's supposed to do as our God. But there's things in our lives we go through that he knows what we need, and we have to trust in times we don't see the answer that we're still being provided for with what we need. You know, there's back some of you that grew up in a different generation where, you know, you grew up poor, there wasn't all the things we have now. You know, you realize what was important to you as a poor person, right? To have a place just to sleep, just food on the table, the literally the basic essentials, clothes to be able to wear. You know, I've heard my grandma tell a story of, you know, Christmas gifts, getting, you know, a piece of fruit, you know, getting a toothbrush. Getting things like that meant everything. Not like today's world. But the needs were met. Growing up, my needs were met, and more than that, my wants were met. Some of my desires were met. I wanted a bicycle. I got a bicycle. I wanted a basketball goal. I got a basketball goal. I wanted $1 million. I got a basketball goal. You know, my desires, a lot of them were met. I got things I desired. I remember the best gift, one of the most exciting gifts I ever got in my life was my Atari 2600. Boy, I'm telling my age, my Atari. I squealed like a little girl, I believe, whenever I got that. I opened that thing up and my Atari 2600. Charlie, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, did you? You had one stick and one red button. A moron could play that game. Now you've got these controllers, A, B, triangle, circle, dash, X. I can't play a game. I'm looking at the remote trying to figure out what to even hit. But, man, I love that. So, yes, I had a lot of my desires met, a lot of my wants met, but I always had my needs met. I always had a home to sleep in. I always had clothes to wear every day, and I always had food most days. My needs were met. God meets our needs. Psalms 23:1. Let's start out with one of the most, you know, famous verses of all time, right? It's quoted every dead person's funeral. That made no sense. Dead, you know what I mean? Every funeral. Of course they're dead. Funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another translation is I shall not be in lack. Why am I not in lack? Because the Lord is my shepherd. My mom and dad ain't my shepherd. They're my parents, and I love them. My wife ain't my shepherd. My kids ain't my shepherd. My pastor ain't my shepherd. That's me. The Lord is my shepherd. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I can trust that I won't be in lack of anything that I need, that God can provide in my life what I need every single day. Because that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd feeds the flock, waters the flock, protects the flock, fights for the flock, makes sure they're in the right place at the right time. Make sure this, I love this about a shepherd, they make sure none of their sheep gets lost. They got to stay together. And if one gets missing, guess what? A shepherd goes after that one to bring him back. So this is an equation of how our God is. He is our shepherd. He is the one that feeds us, waters us, protects us, fights for us, doesn't let us get gone or lost. And he loves us. So God has what I need if my trust in the shepherd and not in my abilities, because my abilities are very limited. My resources are very limited. I can only draw so much money out of the bank before they say, you ain't got no more. You know, I can only drive a car so far before the gas tank says, you know, empty, stupid, empty. Those resources run out. But thank God my shepherd's resources never run out. He has what I need, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, in my home, in my marriage, with my kids, in my own mind, whatever the needs are. And so we'll do a little visual toward the end of service to demonstrate a visual of what God really does in our lives. Go to the next verse, Brandon. Another very familiar verse, Philippians 4:19. And what this is talking about, Paul was starting churches, and he was asking for support to be able to, you know, pay the way for him to be able to do the church ministry. And so he was letting the people know that had been helping him, that had been giving to him, supporting the ministry, this verse. My God shall supply all of your need according, and this is so key, according to his riches in glory. Not according to what you do, but according to what he has. Not according to the boundaries of what we call our supply, but according to his endless supply that never runs out. Paul's saying, your need's going to be met. Trust me, God will supply all of your needs. It may not be what we want. You may want a brand new 2019 Lexus 300 GS Z54. Not really a car, just saying. And God gives you a 1998 Toyota that runs just fine. Your need is met. You may not be riding around real proud sometimes, winking at the ladies, that 1998 Toyota. But you know what? It's getting you where you want to go. God provides the need. I'm amazed to see how God in my life has moved at times where I've seen him meet my need where I was at. And I'm thankful for that. Because really, you know, there's songs that we sing and there's prayers we pray, right? Lord, let your will be done. I want that Lexus 300 ZX, but God, let your will be done. Because you know what I need and you know what's going to change me or not change me. So God, give me what's best for my life. Some of us pray for jobs that we're just want so bad. I mean, oh, if I could just have, we pray for them. People call, I had somebody text me this week, says, I got two interviews this week. Says, pray for me, I get this job. And I'm sitting there, and you know what I do? I pray that God's will is done. Because you never know what that job could be a curse. You don't know. God, I pray that if this door is supposed to be for this person, you open it. And if it's not, that you close it. Because you know what's right. And sometimes that dream job could be a disaster. Sometimes that dream car could be a disaster. Sometimes that dream woman, whew, disaster. As the old line in Lion King, disaster's in the air. Yeah. So we pray for things, and sometimes they're not what we need. They're what we think we want, but they're not what we need. So God, I want what you want me to have, because that's what's best for my life. Go to the next scripture. This is Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, which hope is something that we all need, he is the God of that hope. Fill us with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in that hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a joy and a peace and a hope that only comes from God. We can't find that in the world. We want to, and we think that job will give us peace. You know, a lot of people think money is the answer, and we find out money's not the answer. If I could just be rich, right? If I didn't have no bills, if I could just have that doesn't bring you peace and joy. Not necessarily. It's fun. And you don't think I daydream when every time I see these lottery winners win $300 million? I'm like, man, boy, what would I do with $300 million? I wouldn't be here next Sunday, I will tell you that. But and see, that's why God don't give it to me. I mean, think about that. All of a sudden, you come to $300 million. Oh, my gosh. What do you do with that kind of resource? But it doesn't give you full peace or satisfaction. You can't get joy in the world because we were created for more than that. We were designed to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's why that women and men that give themselves away sexually just to have pleasure never have real peace or real joy because they're not with the right person. They're not in love. They're having a relationship, but it's not the one that God designed. And so they're still void, they're still empty, they're still miserable, they're still discouraged, because though there's pleasure in that season, there's not fulfillment in that season. And there's a difference. So God is the source of our hope. God's the source of our joy. God's the source of our peace through His Spirit and through His power. Next verse. Philippians 4:16. Be careful. This word careful means anxious. We all could use that, right? The pharmaceutical world is making a killing off anxious people. You know, we're like this all day, right? Need a pill. I mean, we're wired tight. Be careful. Be anxious for nothing, absolutely nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a really cool word. It's just fun. Y'all say a supplication. When you go to lunch today, tell your waitress, says, in everything and with supplication, take it to God. See how they look at you. With what? Supplication. It means, that word supplication means to take your need before God. Present it. God, here is my desire. I need healing. God, I need deliverance. God, I need peace. God, I need strength. God, I need direction. Whatever it is, take that and present it before God. Here's what I need, God. With everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And then look what happens next. When you do this, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. Don't we long to have peace in our thoughts? How many of us can't sleep at night because our thoughts won't let us sleep? We wake up in the middle of the night with thoughts because we can never rest, because thoughts are continually consuming our lives. But we have a promise here. As we take everything before God, He gives us a peace. What this really means is we get a peace we shouldn't have. We get a peace that we can't explain. I get a peace in my life that I shouldn't be walking in because of what I'm going through. But somehow God overshadows my problem and my storm and my anxieties and my all of that. He overshadows that with a peace that didn't come from me. So yes, I can dance in the rain. I can praise Him in the wind, knowing He's there, knowing He's part of my life and He's not going to fail me, that somehow it's going to work out. I'm going to get through it, and I will have the victory in the end. So I can have peace about that. When we take something before God, something happens. I mean, think about this. If Don comes to me with a problem and says, Pastor, I got a problem. I need you to help me with it. Blah, 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 blah. And it's something I can control. And I say, Don, it's handled. Don't worry about it no more. I'll fix it tomorrow. It'll be done. It'll be over with. He can walk away knowing, whew, that's off of me. It's on Him. I can sleep tonight because James is going to handle it for me. Well, God is handling your everyday life. God is handling. When you're sleeping at night, God ain't sleeping. When you're stressing, God ain't stressing. When you're worked up with anxiety, God ain't anxious about nothing. He's in full control of our lives. And He knows what our needs are before we even know what they are ourselves. And He is willing to meet that need. You hang on and you trust Him. That peace is a beautiful thing. Peace like a river, the old song says. Next verse, Brandon. James 1:5. Here's something else, a need that God meets in our lives. If any of you lack wisdom, you know, direction, you need wisdom, you need knowledge, you need understanding about something, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given you. You need direction, you need understanding, you need knowledge, you need wisdom. You ask God for it. He has what you need. You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed, as I always say. I just thought about something funny just now. You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to get the point. Ain't that good? That just hit me. So you don't have to be the sharpest tool. That's funny, Charles. You can share that, brother. You don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to get the point. God can reveal it to you supernaturally. God can give you what you need in any situation. Some of them are about I call him Uncle Gail, who, you know, left us a few months ago and with the Lord. But he used to always tell me, Gail was a thinker and a processor. And he told me on numerous occasions, when he couldn't figure something out, he would walk away from it. He would go talk to God for a minute, pray about it. And then all of a sudden, knowledge of how to do it would come to him. God would give him. He's told it to you, I'm sure, Bill, too, and to Roger. Knowledge would come to him on how to fix that. He went to God and asked. And God had what he needed. See, he helped me that time. My U-Haul got stuck in the road. Y'all heard that story. And I was like, what do I do? Now, God didn't give me the same detailed message he gave Gail, but he did give me Gail. He said, go get Gail. Okay, Gail figured it out. That's what I did. I went and got Gail. I never remember. My dad was so funny, man. What can Gail do? 80-year-old man. What can Gail do? I told Dad Gail can do a lot. Just watch. And Gail got the ox out of the ditch. So God gave me the plan of Gail, and then God gave Gail the plan of getting us out of the ditch. I love how God works. God has what you need. Next scripture. John 10:28. This is Jesus speaking. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Isn't that good news? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God meets our need of assurance that we can be assured that his promises are true. I've got assurance. I am over the fact of this, and I'm telling you, I've crossed a milestone, church, spiritually. I've crossed this road. I don't care who y'all are in this place. No religious person is going to put me back under something God has set me free from. I'm over it. I know that no man, no weapon can take away the grace of Jesus that's in my life. Nothing. And for people to say, well, you better, no. There ain't no B-U-T's to it. There ain't no buts to it. I am covered by the grace of my Savior. Period and forever. And it's not up to me, church, to get to heaven because I wouldn't make it. None of us would make it. God made the way. He said in John 14, I go. Joe didn't go. Ray didn't go. Jesus went. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus made the way. I didn't make the way. He's got what I need. And I can take assurance that I am his, and nobody's going to make me doubt that because I don't live to their standard. Because people don't judge us. There's one righteous judge. But we live our lives trying to please people to the point that we compromise who God made us be. Who God made us to be. Who God made us to be. And I'm not going to go back under that anymore. I have this assurance that I have eternal life. I'm never going to taste death because of that life. I'm not saying my body won't fall away, but I'm not going to taste death. I'm not going to ever be separated from the presence of God. And no man can take me. Nobody can pull me out of the hand of God. He's got me. He has got you. You can take assurance in that and trust that. God has today what you need. He has it. Now, I've got a visual I want to do here, okay? And I just, it's very generic, but hopefully get the point across, okay? And I'm debating on how to do this, whether I should just ask or whether I should just do this. So let me think about this for a minute. Give me a second. Let's try it both ways. I want someone to tell me, if it's not, you know, without getting real personal, if you have a need, what need do you have today? A need in your life. Teresa, what is it? Healing. Hang on to that. That's yours. Keep. I'm God, because I always play God. Remember that. And here's what God does. Who else has a need? Well, limited to one, if you wish. Okay. So yours could be a couple things. Let's see. Your job situation. I've got one here that I think will apply, possibly. Yeah, give me a different one. I only got 12 balls in here. Oh, I got that one right here. Perfect one. I'm glad you said that. I promise. Where's that? Feel loved. Feel loved. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on to that. You need to feel loved. He's got that need. Who else got a need? Stacy. He needs a truck. Finances. That God will provide that truck for you. Hang on to that and believe that. That God will make a way to get you a truck. Who else? Yes, Brenda. I've actually got. This one's hear your voice. You need to hear God's voice on that to know what's going on. You hang on to that. Trust God. Speak to me again what I need to hear about Tony. Who else? Gail? I've got that one. Gail needs peace. Now, y'all hang on to these. I got these out of the nursery. So they're sanctified. Peace. Yeah, y'all might want to wash them. Did you raise your hand? What you got? Let's see. Deliverance. You hang on to that for him. Who else? Don't get mad if I don't have it. Remember, I'm not God. I'm just playing God on TV. Okay. I can pass some out. What you got, Nancy Rose? I'll tell you what, this would be good for you. Feel your presence. Hang on to that. And whenever you're in a place that you're doubting, God, I need to feel your presence. When I'm not at church, I need to feel your presence where I'm at. Anybody else? Yes, sir. I got one for you right here. Boy, he's honest, ain't he? I love our church. Forgiveness. Hang on to that. You are in forgiveness, Don. God died knowing you would cuss at some time. Anybody else want to be honest? I love that. Debbie? Worry? So you need peace. I already gave peace away. Gail's got peace. Let's see. I know. That's why I said I'm just playing God. I'm not really God. I tell you what, take this one, Debbie. This is strength. And when you're battling, God will give you strength to get through the battle. Sorry, Doc. I got three more. Let me tell you what they are. That way some of you may have these and you just have these. I really want y'all to hang on to these. What is going on in my ear? Hang on. Here's the three I got left. Joy, hope, and direction. Joy, hope, direction. Anybody want any three of those? What you want, David? Which one? Direction. Hang on to that. Whenever you need that, you pray God to give you that direction in your life you need. I got hope and joy. Here you go. Booyah! Out of the sky. And I've got hope. David Lee. Hang on to that hope, brother. Ready? All righty. Kind of a visual, right, of what God does. We come to him. He has, his bowl's a lot bigger than mine, of course. He would have had peace for more than one person. So his bowl's bigger. But gives you a visual that what he does. And we come to God. What do I need? Boom, there it is. What do I need? Boom, there it is. And I know all of you have needs. We all have needs. We all have battles. But God has it. That's the good news. God has it. We've had a time this week. With our Wi-Fi, right now it's down, or our internet's down, and we're working on that. Hopefully get it fixed next week. But I spent a whole week over here working on this Wi-Fi situation. I've had people coming in, spending hours. I was so frustrated. I was so, a Time Warner guy to come in, didn't know why it wasn't working, just says, well, I don't know why that box ain't working. It's showing internet, but it ain't working. I don't know. Here's what I would do, and see you. Thanks, George. I mean, really, you're a technician. So frustrating. And I'm sitting there thinking, this dude does not have what I need. You know, Time Warner didn't have what I needed. Nobody could seem to help me. Somebody could seem to fix me. I called the Time Warner person on the phone for 2 days, spent time. I think she made things worse because she disconnected something and then didn't do, I don't know. Anyway, it was a mess. They didn't have what I need. You ever been to Walmart to go get your item, didn't have what you need? Out of stock. You ever been to a gas pump and is out of gas? I've done that, pulled up, you know, big old flags on, no gas. Don't have what you need. You know, you request a room, an oceanfront room. Well, we don't have an oceanfront room. They're all booked. Don't have what you need. You know? You go get a puppy. I really want a female. Well, I got some males. Ain't got what you need. You go to Logan's. I really want, you know, macaroni and cheese. Well, we're out of that today. I'm sorry, we ran out. We ain't got what you need. Our whole lives are spent seeing that there's things that don't meet our needs, but not God. And that's the beautiful thing. God has what you need. God has every desire of your heart. And if you don't see it happening, you hang on to it and you wait on it. You believe in it. God is going to give each of us, his children, what we need. I promise. I remember growing up, I'd go clothes shopping for school. And, you know, my parents didn't make much money. And they did good. You know, I guess we were considered, you know, middle class, I guess. But, you know, they were limited. I mean, Dad worked in a factory. Mom worked part-time off and on to watch me because, you know, I was so important and she wanted to make sure she invested her life in me. And that really turned out great. So thanks, Mom. But, you know, Dad worked in a factory his whole life. Same job for 40-some years. You can't get people to work now. Same job for 2 months. You know, 40-some years Dad worked this place. Didn't make a lot of money. So we go clothes shopping. And we'd go to, like, the mall or something, but I never remember. I remember going to my jeans at JCPenney's. They sold a brand back then called Plain Pockets. And that's what I had to get. I couldn't get Lee's or Levi's or Wranglers. I wore Plain Pockets. So you remember them, Gail? Plain Pockets. You might have bought the girl that. I don't know. But anyway, Plain Pockets. And I remember, it wasn't a name brand. It wasn't, you know, I didn't get expensive shoes. I never once had a pair of Air Jordans. And I always wanted the red and black and white pair of Air Jordans. But I understand that. I wouldn't pay that for my kids as an adult now. I understand that. I mean, them things, you know, back in were three times what a regular tennis shoe was. I never had Air Jordans. I didn't even have Nikes growing up. I didn't have the big name brands. I had more of the lower end stuff. Pumas. I had some Pumas, I think. Or sometimes I might have had shoes with no name at all on them. Just a blank white shoe, like a nursing home. I don't know. I'm just saying. God met my needs. They wasn't the big brand name. But you know what? I had nice clothes. I had new clothes. And you know what? God met my needs. These kids don't need $100 shoes, church. They got 2 feet. $40 shoes work just as good to get them where they're going. Just saying. And I ain't too proud to go to a Goodwill or a thrift shop. That don't bother me whatsoever. If I see something I like, I'm going to get it. Because I've realized as an adult that you save where you can. And I'm not too good to wear something else. God has everything we need. It may not be always what we want, but trust God that he has what you need. And the ones of you that received the little ball this morning, hang on to that. Just hang on to that. Take it with you wherever, you know, keep it somewhere, and then when you're having a moment, go refer to that as a point of contact. Say, you know what, I need to feel your presence. I need joy, God. I need strength. I need peace. And God, I call upon you for that in my life. All of us have needs, but God has what you need today. I promise you. Marjorie, are you able to play a little something? You got to sing if you just play a little something. I want to open it up before we leave this morning that whatever needs you have, that you give it to God today and then trust that he has what you need and that he's going to supply that need from his source, not from yours. Don't get discouraged because you prayed, nothing's happened. Don't get discouraged because you talked to God and you don't feel any change. I promise you, he is hearing you. He cares for you, and it's all about God's timing, God's season for your life. Because God knows what's around the next curve. You don't know what's around the next curve. But if you have a need, on up the altar, they sing this song this morning, to come up here, and we're going to pray together as a group up here. Whoever's up here, we're going to pray together that God meets your need, or at least gives you the peace and assurance to know he's going to meet your need. So if that's you, come up here and stand. Let's pray together.
Close to you.
Altar, God, and provide in their lives exactly what they need, whether it's peace or joy or deliverance or healing, breakthrough, direction, wisdom, hope, whatever it is, God, you have what they need. As we surrender to you, God, we do give it all to you right now. Take it over, God. Take it away, Lord, and give us and fill us with all of your power and all of your peace today to know we have been in the presence of a holy, loving God. In Jesus' name, God, we receive all you have for us today. We receive it with faith. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here today, church, knowing no matter what you're battling or where you're at, God has what you need. And I am so thankful that in every battle of my life, every storm of my life, he is there and he's faithful. Whether I'm free or whether I'm bound, whether I'm high, whether I'm low, God is there. And I am so thankful. Hang on to that this morning. Hang on to that and leave knowing, God, you've got this. And I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful. Lord, we thank you so much for the presence that's here today, that's been at this altar, God. We thank you for this presence that's been in this sanctuary. We thank you, God, that whatever we present to you, you have in your bowl of supply everything we need to hand us. And say, here, my child, I've got this. Thank you, God, for your loving kindness and your mercy and your grace that is toward us, this precious gift that is a gift from you. We thank you. Encourage each one today, Lord, and let no one leave this place the same as they came in. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.